Please stand if you are able to honor the reading of the gospel. The reading is from the gospel according to St. Luke, chapter 2, verses 1 through 20. It tells the story of the birth of Jesus Christ, our Savior. Hear now the word of the Lord. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, every one into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, who being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling cloths, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling cloths, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem, and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste, and found Mary, and Joseph, and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things, and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, as it was told unto them. This is the word of the Lord, so thanks be to God.
Well, this whole month of Advent, we have been noticing how people see things differently in the build-up to Christmas, and today we get to see how seeing Jesus himself changes how we see things. And it reminds me of a day that is indelibly etched on my memory, a day when I realized that everything had changed, a day when even my definition of fun was permanently altered. October 12th, 2011. A day that may not have significance for you, but trust me, it means a great deal to me. Any guess what might have happened on October 12th, 2011? Well, for those of you who know that I have a 5-year-old son, you might guess that that is his birth date, and you would be barking up the right tree, but no, that is 4 weeks after his birthday. You see, when babies are born, oftentimes they're pretty tired from the process of birth. And so you might get a week or two of glorious bliss where all they do is sleep and they trick you into thinking that you have a relaxed, chill baby. Fat chance. That just means they're all rested up now and ready to rock and roll. And so on October 12th, after we had those two glorious weeks, we then had the two not as glorious weeks of the not so sleepy baby. My perspective was beginning to change. Another thing you should know about me is that I am by nature a night owl. I once stayed up for multiple days in a row just to see how long I could make it. On my extended breaks in college, I would switch to a nocturnal schedule because I was more productive if I worked at night. And the best was I used to write articles and do animations for a humor website in 3 a.m. That's when the magic happened. Loved staying up late. It was so much fun. But now on October 12th, 2011, wasn't loving it anymore. You see, there's a big difference between choosing to stay up and being forced to stay up by a screaming parcel of humanity. And so out of all the words to describe that night, fun is not one of them. And so ever since October 12th, 2011, I have seen 3 a.m. with very different eyes. Seeing and experiencing my first child changed the way I see my family. And I bet Mary and Joseph are starting to see things differently too. There's a natural sense of responsibility whenever you have your child, first child, but I imagine it's got to be a little bit more if you are tasked with caring for a future king or imagine a future president or, you know, the Son of God. They might have felt a mite intimidated that night. I think finally seeing Jesus, they started to see their family differently. And I think they saw each other differently too. As we near Christmas tomorrow, as we remember the birth of Jesus, is there any way that God wants you to see your family differently? One of our readings today called Jesus, Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. So remembering that the Prince of Peace has been born, is there any way that he wants you to find more peace in your family? To see your spouse in a new light, maybe, or maybe to parent in a manner that reflects the Everlasting Father. How might you see your family through God's eyes this Christmas? But you know, the Christmas story is not just about a family. It's so much bigger than that. After all, who in our text today got the announcement personally from an angel about Jesus' birth? Shepherds. And shepherds weren't exactly well regarded at the time. They were considered untrustworthy. They were not permitted to give eyewitness testimony in court. They were considered to be liars by nature of their profession. And they were, through their work with the animals, considered unclean. They weren't allowed to worship in the temple. And these particular shepherds faced an even better irony, which is they were actually caring for the sheep and the animals that would go on to be sacrificed at the temple. But the act of caring for those animals left them unable to enter the temple. It would be like if we as a church told the people who clean our church, you know, hey, it looks great, it's nice and clean, but you know, you got a little dirty while cleaning, so don't come and worship with us. That'd be crazy. But that's exactly what happened to these shepherds. They were used and cast aside. They were outcasts. Now, I gained a newfound respect for the work of shepherds after my experiences in rural Texas. I once dated a girl who raised sheep and goats, and she invited me into the pen to meet one of her favorite goats, male goat, very key to the story. As I entered the pen, the goat was immediately perturbed in my presence, and he kind of shook all over and lowered his head, pointed it at me. Remember, male goat, so horns, charged at me. And in this tiny little space, luckily I grabbed his horns, was able to flip him on his back and effect what I believe to be a, you know, strategic retreat, never to return again. And so anyone who can work with those animals has my respect, and hats off to them. But let's think through this. I mean, Mary has just given birth in a crowded stable, not exactly the ideal circumstances. And I don't know about your experience, but my wife was not too keen to have a bunch of people she didn't know come visit her right after giving birth, let alone a bunch of shepherds who, you know, probably had their sheep with them. If I were Mary, I would be something like, God, come on. You already made people look at me weird because they don't believe this whole miraculous birth story. Then you made me give birth in a stable. And then you send a bunch of shepherds right after I give birth. Seriously, God, is it April Fool's Day in heaven? I mean, what's going on here? Now, we don't have a lot of shepherds today, so maybe we can't fully relate, but who are the outcasts today? Who is looked down on today? Who would make you uncomfortable today? What if a bunch of homeless men and women came in right after you or your spouse gave birth? Would that make you uncomfortable? Or if a mental health center brought a busload of mentally ill people to dinner tonight, would that make you uncomfortable? The story of Christmas features the poor, features the outcast prominently. While kings and priests were sleeping unaware, the poor and the outcast get a message hand-delivered by an angel that Jesus is born. While the powerful and respected are busy looking after their own concerns, the poor and the outcast are leaping for joy because they know the true king has been born. Does Jesus want you to see the poor and the outcast through God's eyes this Christmas? Who are the shepherds of today? How might God want you to see them differently as a result of the Christmas story? I think those outcast shepherds show us at least one more thing, too. Imagine that I told you that your Christmas experience tomorrow is you're going to be outside in the cold, and maybe it's going to snow as well. You're going to be outside all day, and this isn't a holiday for you. It's not like you're skiing. You're going to be working a double shift, so no holiday for you. If you found that out tonight, that that's going to be your Christmas tomorrow, would you be celebrating or would you be complaining? Because that is what the shepherds had in store for them. They had hundreds of reasons to be complaining, but how does our text end? The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all that they had heard and seen as it had been told to them. They were celebrating. They were praising God, and they were telling everyone who would listen this good news. Despite their plethora of reasons to complain, they're celebrating the one big piece of good news that they just got. They see the blessing that they received from God, not just their thousands of annoyances in their life. They are on the lookout for reasons to be thankful, not just reasons to complain. Now, I've told this story in a children's sermon before, so if you've heard it, bear with me. But I remember one year, I have an older brother, he's 2 years older than me, his name is Chris, and one year my brother was all in for getting a new desk for Christmas. And he had scoured the options, he had measured everything, you know, how many shelves, how many drawers, he had picked out a very specific desk, not just any desk, this one desk will do, no others. And he was pretty stoked about it. And so Christmas morning arrived, and we bounded up the stairs in our house just like normal, started tearing into the presents. And my brother and I, you know, got through our first three or four presents, and he was out. But I was still tearing open boxes. And it's not like I was slow. I mean, I was going pretty quickly here, but I just had more boxes than he did. And my brother is not one to be shy, so he aired his grievance to my parents that Christmas morning, which I'm sure they appreciated. And they asked my brother a question. They said, "Chris, what were all your boxes sitting on?" "Oh, a desk." He hadn't even noticed. The desk that he wanted was sitting right in front of him. All of his presents were sitting on it. He couldn't notice it because he was too busy comparing what he had with what I had. He missed the blessing. How about you? Have you ever been on the lookout for reasons to complain? Where might God be trying to show you the blessing you have rather than the thing you wished you had? What reasons can you find to praise God this Christmas and not just complain to God? Sisters and brothers, the great news of Christmas is that we find out once and for all that God wants to be with us, that God sees us not through eyes of judgment, but through the eyes of grace and mercy. Thanks be to God for that. But it also begs the question, who could we see with those same eyes? Who could we see with eyes of grace and mercy and not judgment and comparison? Maybe that's seeing your family through God's eyes this Christmas. Maybe it's seeing the poor and the outcast through God's eyes this Christmas. Maybe you even need to see yourself through God's eyes of mercy and grace. How does God want you to see things differently as a result of the birth of Jesus? because the birth of Jesus is the best reason to celebrate rather than complain this Christmas. Thanks be to God. Amen.